So that's page 1039, Luke chapter 6, and we are starting at verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let me lead us in prayer as we turn to think about these words. Father, we, as we read them, we find these words to be shocking and challenging, and at points feels too extreme, but we pray you'd help us to relate to others as we know we need you to relate to us, in mercy and forgiveness, and in running from judgment and running from condemnation. We pray that for your glory. Amen. Well, at points, our society loves to give. You know, just look at the way that people have reacted to the Grenfell Tower disaster or other disasters. People love to give. But at the same time, we think the way the world works is give and take. Give and take. That's how it works at work, right? We give a certain number of hours, and then we get to take home our wages. It's how we think it works in home life. So I give the chore of doing the washing up or whatever it is, and I get to take from you the fact that you'll take out the bins for me. Give and take. Sometimes our giving can just end up being taking in disguise. So, you know, when you go out for a round of drinks with people at work, it looks so generous, doesn't it? One person steps up and says graciously, I will buy this round of drinks for seven people, and you guys just put your money away, put your money away. Sorry if this is a shock to people, but there's actually an expectation that the next time it comes round to a round, maybe you go out next week, it's going to be your turn. It's not really giving, is it? It's give and take. What are we to make? Give and take, it works, doesn't it? Until someone takes and doesn't give enough back. So where does marriage breakdown come from? Where does low trust environments at work come from? Hate, backstabbing, vitriol, where does it come from? It comes from people taking and taking and then not giving back. This passage we're looking at, it's not give and take, is it? It's give and give and give, and keep giving, even as people keep taking. And I don't know if you were, what you were thinking as we were reading it. Maybe, I think, I just caught myself thinking, this is foolish. This is a dangerous way to relate to other people. You know, what does Jesus say? Verse 27, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. 29, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And if someone takes your cloak, don't withhold your tunic either. Luke's writing to his friend Theophilus, and Jesus just said in 6:22, look, becoming a Christian, it's dangerous. It can leave you persecuted. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, revile you. Theophilus is thinking, okay, right, I understand it's going to take opposition, but how are we going to kind of mobilize and organize so that we're not just completely downtrodden? Jesus' response? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. So Jesus wants us to actually picture a moment at work where someone has just been completely self-serving and takes all the credit for your whole team's hard work. Or someone has just been inexcusably lazy and your team's been dumped in it because they didn't pull their finger out. Or maybe you're at school, someone's just been incredibly harsh to you in the playground. Jesus wants you to picture going over to that person and offering to help them with a task they're struggling with. Offer to help them with a bit of homework that they can't do. He wants us to picture at home watching our partner or housemate just being inexcusably selfish and to picture ourselves going downstairs, taking out the bins, which is normally their job, and serving. Can you picture yourself doing that in the heat of the moment as you're frustrated? That's what Jesus wants us to do. If you're anything like me, you'll have read this passage and you'll have gone, A, this is foolish, and B, I've got a million caveats I want to put on this passage so that I don't need to actually follow through on it. I'm just going to turn this passage into give and take, not give and give and give. What are we to do? How are we to understand this passage? How are we to hear Jesus' words without pulling the punch of it? You'll see the big thing we're trying to say in this sermon. It's printed there on the inside of your service sheets for you. We need God to give to takers, so give to takers too. We need God to give to takers, like us. And so our attitude towards others as they take is that we'll be ready to give. You see, this basic principle we need to get is theology is very practical. It's not they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly use. As you understand yourself vertically in your relationship to God rightly, how you need God to relate to you, well, that's going to have a massive impact horizontally, you could call it, as we relate to one another. What happens on those two axes is inextricably linked. And if we get this first one right, you'll see why Jesus is able to say what he's able to say on how he relates to others. So we're going to start at the bottom of the passage and work our way up. So I think the second half of the passage has got more to say about that vertical axis, and then we'll come back to the horizontal. So at the very end of the passage, verse 38, here's the principle. God will give you what you give others. Verse 38, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So it takes a bit of explaining for us 21st century Westerners. We don't really use measures very often. But if you're in the first century and you were trading wheat, you would say, I'll give you 10 measures of wheat. And you could go and get those measures and pour them out. And pouring them into their laps, that's not a bad thing. Pouring a drink into someone's laps, that's a bad thing, just to clarify. Pouring wheat into the bit of material they carried around so that they could carry it home, that was a good thing. If you wanted to be generous, well, you'd do good measure, verse 38, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So you'd be like a hungry teenager getting his bowl of cereal in the morning, you know, just cram down the cornflakes as much as he possibly can and squeeze in as much milk as overflowing because he doesn't too lazy to go back round for a second bowl. If you wanted to be stingy, well, then you wouldn't shake it and you wouldn't quite fill it to the top. You know, we've all had those moments where it feels like firms are taking us by the ankles and shaking us till all our money comes out. You buy something on Amazon for like £2 and then you realise the postage charge is £6.70 or whatever it is. And you pay £50 for tickets to go to the theatre and then you arrive and it's £17.20 for a bottle of water. It just, you know, people just, they're being harsh in their relationship to us. Well, to be harsh in the first century was to use a mean, stingy measure. Well, this passage is saying the measure you use in your relationship with others, that is the measure God will use for you. If in your relationship with other people, if you squeeze in every last bit of forgiveness you can possibly squeeze in, if it's overflowing from out of you, that is the measure that God will use in his relationship with you. We've got the golden rule in this passage. It's there in verse 31. I guess we know it most famously as, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In a sense, this passage is expanding it, saying, do unto others as you would have God do unto you. Do unto others as you would have God do unto you. How do I need God to do unto me? I need to understand myself rightly before I'll understand this passage at all. I am a taker. That's bad news. We are takers. So we had that verse at the start. What is the most high like in verse 35? He's kind to the ungrateful and the evil. In Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus is it's just a casual throwaway line. He's trying to compare our love to our Father's love in heaven. And he says, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? Just a casual throwaway line from Jesus. If you, though you were evil. Not talking to a specifically harsh group of people. Just talking to ordinary people. You see, at points we're made to give. We do it rightly, and yet at so many other points we turn out to be takers. We are takers horizontally. I catch myself, I smell the dirty nappy, and I just think, I need to get into another part of the house right now. I need to find a way to not be responsible for changing that nappy. I don't want to do it. Is Mary in the room still? She's not, is she? I can say that. Oh, don't listen to the recording. Sorry if you're listening to the recording, Mary. I try. I'm battling to change. We're takers. We're selfish. That's what we're like. We're takers horizontally. We are takers vertically. We take God's good gifts and we will not give him his right place in our lives. And the problem with being a taker is we deserve to have everything taken from us. So we watch and we applaud as the really selfish, lazy person at work has their job taken from them. I mean, and the Putney Bridge jogger, have people watched that video? This guy just running down the pavement on Putney Bridge and he just... There's a woman who dares to be in the middle of the pavement. I think that's the problem he's got with her. And he just barges her out of the way onto the road into this bus lane. And this bus has to swerve to not hit this lady. The papers were desperate for it to be an investment banker. They thought they'd found the person, but it wasn't an investment banker. Well, it wasn't that investment banker anyway. We want something in us that wants somebody who takes like that. We want that person to receive justice. It's just a very dangerous wicket to bat on. Because we are takers too. We deserve to have everything taken from us. Not just in this life, but in eternity. We deserve to have everything taken from us into eternity. How do we need God to relate to us? We need a God who is full of mercy and compassion, whose grace overflows. It's pressed down, shaken together, flowing over, poured into our laps. And that is the God that is there. That's the promise of this passage, in a sense. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. That is the measure God will use. How has he done it? He's done it in Jesus. The fulfillment of this passage is that we are imperfect givers, even in our best moments. Jesus is the only one who has really loved people who were his enemies. He's the only one who was always, every time he was struck on the cheek, didn't withhold the other. He's the only one who let them take his cloak and then his tunic too, so that he could give and give and give, so that as he died on the cross, he could give us what we don't deserve, mercy and forgiveness. The question of this passage is, which takers does God give to? Which takers does God give to? We're all takers. Who gets to receive his mercy? Our normal answer here on the barge, and don't worry, I'm not changing our theology, I think this is still right, is people who place their trust in the Lord Jesus. People who come to him and ask for mercy. But what's the answer of this passage? This is asking for the evidence of our faith. It's saying, verse 37, forgive and you will be forgiven. If we're reading the parallel of this in Matthew 6, verse 14, we'd find Jesus goes even further. He says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that's not because summoning up forgiveness within ourselves earns forgiveness from God, but because forgiving others is evidence of our beliefs. It shows what kind of a universe we know we need to live in. I need to live in a universe where mercy is on offer for the ungrateful, for the takers like me. I need to live in that universe. And so in my relationship with other people, I'm ready to show that kind of mercy and forgiveness too. I need it. We'll have a look at some of the applications from the first half of the passage in a moment, but how about for some from the second half of this passage, this idea of judge not lest you be judged. Do you find that in yourself, that heart of judgment? I think it's a sort of intrinsic danger of a church like ours or church networks we move in that are quick to prize theological accuracy and quick to try and get the truth right and quick to say, you know, that's the truth. And that over there, that's wrong. Like, we try and do that, and you'll hear us do that at times at the Barge, but you just have to be so careful what's going on in your heart as you do that. Discernment is one thing. Judgment, you sail so close to the wind. What measure are you using in your relationship to other people, other groups out there, other claims about Christianity? Is it a judgmental measure? What about forgiveness? Lots of us will be carrying past hurts, things people have done to us. How are we going to process that? What's it going to look like to forgive, to forget as well? God, in a sense, he doesn't forget. He knows what we've done in the past, and yet he forgets. He chooses to act from now on as if those things never happened. Have we been able to forgive in that way, in a wise way that protects us and yet is ready to forgive? We need God to give to takers, so give to takers too. The first half of this passage, you'll see how I've broken it down there on the sheets. 27 to 28 says this, give to those who have taken. Verse 27, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. It's what God has done for us, and now we're to go and do the same. Maybe it's that person, you just feel the hackles coming up on the back of your neck as they walk in the room. It just feels like everything they do is calculated to hurt you. Or that's how you read it anyway. Can you imagine going out of your way to help them with something? Can you imagine praying for them? Not just praying the situation be removed, but praying for them that they'd become a Christian or that they would be helped in moments in their life. One of the thoughts that's helped me as I've processed this is that it looks so dangerous, but actually the give and take way of relating to each other is dangerous too. Because it's all fine as long as people give as much as they take. But the moment we all turn into takers and takers and takers, well, then you just end up surrounded, living in a world full of people punishing each other for their taking. I mean, isn't that what we see in the world around us? No, you can't see the kids anymore. Do you not know how much that divorce has hurt me? Or dad, no, you have to go and live in the old people's home. You weren't there for me, why should I be there for you? On an international scale, the Middle East, it seems like no one can move on and forgive because the retribution just gets passed down and down the generations. Give and take is actually a really dangerous way for a society to operate. What it needs is for some people to say, okay, you took from me, but I'm not going to do the same. give to those who have taken. Keep letting takers take. So Taylor Swift says the haters going to hate, 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 hate. The player's going to play, 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 play. Taker's going to take. I'm getting four laughs from the room. The rest of you are showing up that your knowledge of popular culture is... I mean, that's out of date. That song's like 2 or 3 years now old, isn't it? So I'm actually showing up my own. In fact, I'm out of date. But got it? Had enough of a brain break in the middle of that talk. Keep letting takers take. Verse 29, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. If someone takes your cloak, don't withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. God has done that. That is how God relates to us. You could look at it in salvation. You could look at it just in creation, that God keeps sending the rain, the sun, the seasons on humanity. He keeps the world spinning together. He's kind over and over and over again. It's not about being a doormat. It's about being like Jesus. So Jesus, what's he got? Jesus got all the strength in the world. Jesus, as he's hanging there on the cross, he actually, in some sense, has the right to call up to God and say, send down a legion of angels to smite my enemies. He has that right. And yet every painful breath he draws, he keeps saying, no, I'm going to restrain my strength that I may serve people who I know have kept taking. And I know will keep taking. It's to be like Jesus. We said at the start, we don't want to so caveat this passage that we pull the punch, but I guess there are caveats we'd want to put on this passage. So something like, give to everyone who begs from you. I guess a few caveats we want to say. God gives to us wisely, so give to others wisely too. So if a beggar asks for £50 on the street from you, going to ask what's going on in your heart, but it might not be helpful to give it. I was chatting to someone the other day, a beggar who had just been given £50 in the street, and he was off to buy himself the biggest slap-up meal he could find himself. And I said, well, why don't you just go to McDonald's and save yourself, so you've got £42 left? He's like, no, I've got to spend it, because otherwise I'll spend it on something I shouldn't be spending it on, like drugs. It wasn't actually helpful for him to have £50 at that moment. But what's going on in our hearts? Have you ever stopped in the street and taken that beggar for a coffee or a meal? There's a new website called nextmeal.co.uk which tells us where someone like that could go and get a free hot meal that day and advice about where to go next. So God gives to us wisely, give to others wisely too. God gives the state to restrain sin. So this is Jesus' command for our personal attitudes, not for how the state should operate. So God has given us our government to punish wrongdoing, to ensure we're not exploited at work or by abusive partners. This is not saying God put no checks and balances on evil now. And last caveat, unlike God, our giving must be finite. So the more we give to our colleagues, the less we can give to our church family or our nuclear family. The more we forgo sleep and rest, research shows we're probably just storing up a burnout for ourselves further down the track. We need to say no to other bits of giving now, not so we can take, but so we can keep giving in the future. So those are some of the caveats we want to put on this passage, but feel the weight of it. Jesus is saying, love your enemies. Be ready to go out of your way in service. Be ready for it to feel like people are taking advantage of you. Last point I put down there, don't let your giving become taking in disguise. Don't let your giving become taking in disguise. That's what's going on in 32 to 34. Verse 34, if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. That's effectively what evolutionary biology argues is happening in the world, isn't it? So why is there a society where we give to one another?
was because actually societies that develop that sense, they're more likely to survive to reproduction because they'll be able to work together better. But that's not giving, is it? It's taking in disguise. It's so that you and your selfish genes can survive to reproduction.
What about our giving? Who do we have round to our house for meals? Are they always people who'll return the compliment? Are they just people who will be good friendship material for us or for our kids? Is that giving or is it taking in disguise? Sometimes. Do you know, I found out the other day, do you know, xenophobia is hatred of strangers. Phobia, you've got fear of strangers. Xenos is... the word for hospitality is xenophilia in Greek. So xenos, stranger love. So it's actually not about... I mean, we should all have each other around to each other's houses and love each other and care for each other as a church family. When you see hospitality in the Bible, often it's love, stranger love. The willingness to be kind to people who you haven't met before.
I was reading... J.C. Ryle's written a book called Five English Reformers. And one of the reformers, I lost the book, so I can't tell you which one it was, but he was burned at the stake for standing for the gospel in this country, and yet he used to have one of his chief persecutor's mums round for a meal every Tuesday and have her at his table out of generosity, loving somebody who he could well have taken as his enemy.
We need God to give to takers, so give to takers too. As we close, we need to be careful how we take this. Because if we mishandle it, it can become a form of taking in disguise. So in a sense, you could read the way I've worded it as a selfish way. You know, judge not lest you be judged. So I really, really need God to use this measure with me. Therefore, I don't actually want to give to you, but I've got to give to you so I can take from God. Do you see how that would be a wrong way of... That's wrong. That's the wrong way of reading this. Instead, the way we need to read this is through the lens of verse 35 to 36. That we don't do this to take from God, but that we could be like God. So love your enemies, because you will be sons of the Most High. He is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful.
So, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning, but I've got one of those stupid pouches that you can put your kid in so that they look outwards, so I can have little 7-month-old Dan there in my pouch. There's his face. There's my face. We've got the same haircut. It's great. And there's this family likeness. We carry out the family likeness. He's carrying on the family likeness. He's definitely my child. In the first century, to be a child of a carpenter wasn't just to look like a carpenter, it was to become a carpenter, because you followed your parents into the family business. That's what this passage is saying. We're to follow God into the family business. What is the family business? It is using a measure overflowing with grace and compassion and mercy and forgiveness in our relationships.
We're to be like our dad, and we're to be like our brother, the one who turned the other cheek and gave it all for us.
Imagine a society where this actually happened, where there was this level of forgiveness. Imagine families where everyone strove to give and gave, even as people took and took. It's one of the reasons I love this church family, not because we're full of perfect people, but because we're full of people who... I think are striving to forgive and love and deal with grace and mercy towards one another.
That's why I'm looking forward to heaven,
a perfect society where this will actually happen, where they will actually be surrounded by people who don't want to take anymore, but are ready to give and give and give.
We need God to give to us, so be ready to give to takers. Let's pray, and then we'll carry on our service, but there'll also be a chance to ask questions coming up at the end. So if you think you've got questions you want to ask off the back of this sermon, do store them up for then. Let me lead us in prayer.
Father, it feels like Luke just keeps drilling home this point. Jesus keeps wanting to say to us, what's your view of yourself? Do you know what you need from God? And are we ready to show it to others too? Please, Father, help us have a deep awareness of our own failure, our own taking. Please give us a deep joy at how Jesus has been ready to give to us. And please, would that overflow into how we give to others. Please, would our lives be marked by a measure that overflows with goodness and forgiveness pressed down and overflowing. And we pray that for your glory. Amen.